Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, praises due, all praises due to Almighty God Allah. We open up and we begin with Allah's name. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful, benefactor, most merciful, redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. We send the highest exhortation for our beloved Prophet Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. We welcome you once more to the Airways of America Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We shall share with you a Ramadan session from the year 1995, February the 25th, 1995, from out of Athens, Georgia. I am sharing from out of Volume 1, the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. I think I've lost my place. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here we go. Alhamdulillah. I turned right back to it. Praise be to Allah. So we share these insights with you so that they can be utilized and beneficial in our current lives, the insights, the thinking, the logic, and the connection with Scripture and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We share that with you through the understanding and the tafsir and the perception of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. And we shall begin on page 160 out of volume 1 of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, 1995, out of Athens, Georgia. And it begins with a question. Someone is asking Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad a question. Let me turn this off. Okay, there we go. Nah, praise be to Allah. Okay. Someone is asking Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad a question. And the question is this. Brother Imam, the custodians of the Kaaba, is there a message that is sent when they are permitted to go inside the Kaaba and make salat? Is there a signal or message that's sent? Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad answering the question. Well, I think the message is that we're the custodians and we can even let you do more than what Allah has required of you. We can let you come inside and see the interior. So I think they are saying to us that we hold the knowledge, the secrets. We have the secrets. You want to see the interior? We have the authority to let you see the interior, and the authority is our knowledge of the secrets. They didn't show me the interior. They didn't let me in there. I didn't see anything except what I expected. That's right, a dark, empty place, because Muhammad took the idols out. Prayers and peace be on him. Another question of Imam Muhammad. Earlier, you were talking about how babies are born with weakness. I also remember a while back, you were talking about how the eyes of babies having a lot of feeling and curiosity. How would Allah compensate for a child that is actually born blind? The subject matter of the answer is having soul and mind is the key for overcoming impairment. The Imam answers this question. First, he asks the question, you mean physically blind? All right. No matter what impairment we come here with, if we still have a mind that works for us, if our mind is working, we can be compensated for any other impairment. Yes, it's the soul and the mind. That's the key for happiness. So a man that's physically blind or any other impairment, if he has a soul and a mind, that's the key. We have geniuses who are blind in music, in the entertainment world, and also in our world. And Allah had provided a way for them to read Braille, you know, through man. He has provided a way even for them to read now. They're blind, but they still can read. And sometimes the blindness, because he has to live under darkness, will be the circumstances in his life for giving him extraordinary ability or power to imagine and create. So some blindness is responsible for some people excelling in the world, for their coming into knowledge. They've dealt with their blindness in a positive way, and Allah blessed them with imagination and visions that they shared with us. And they rose in our eyes above men who have great vision, great sight, great eyesight. So it's not necessarily, I would say, a holdback for a person if he has no legs, no arms, blind, or no speech. If he can be communicated to, if his mind can be communicated to in some way or from something, then he has the possibility to become a great person in society. I read a book called Down All the Days, I think it's called. It's about a man. He's a European man, I think, and he had no use of his hand. He had only one toe on one of his feet that could work against the other that was not really a developed toe. And working against the other side, he could hold a pencil. He used that foot, that crippled foot, to write a book, Down All the Days. And it became a bestseller. It was a big, thick book. So even those things that we see as defects in man are also signs to us. Question. Someone is asking Imam Muhammad another question. When you were talking about creation knowing its mode of prayer, I really looked at that. You said the first was the attention of what was being communicated from Allah, and the second being obedience to God, and then the third to study, to understand. What I was trying to get out of that was, would that be for each creation just simply following the order that Allah has set up for it? Imam Wahdadi Muhammad, he's answering, exactly. I couldn't put it better. That's right. Alati Fatarun Nasa Aleha. So everything has its fitra. That's the order that Allah has intended for it. Exactly. You put it perfectly. Question. On the issue of the scholars of this society, those that detract from your leadership and your tafsir. So the question is, well, where are we going to get the new knowledge from? The new scholars are now only scholars who regurgitate what their scholars have written. Where are we going to get the knowledge? Where should we look for the new knowledge from if the best scholars are only repeating the rules from dead scholars? Imam Muhammad answers him, yes. And really, their situation is even worse than that. I'm going to explain. They're not only limited to the growth of their scholars of the past. Their disposition would keep them smaller than their scholars of the past because they put more importance on their scholars' products than they do on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet himself. So they are going to stay smaller than their idols, and that's their spirit. Their spirit to make sajda before their idols. Allah didn't say follow them like that. He says follow them upon their excellence. And that's history. That's what makes man evolve. That's what makes man become better and better, more resourceful, taking the excellence of those that were before him, not worshiping them, but taking their excellence and then following it or building upon it, obeying that excellence and then building upon it. So they should take the excellence. They should be critical, even of those scholars. He didn't say follow them blindly. He said follow them upon their excellence. Bixanine, their excellence, really, not upon their excellence, upon their excellence, and their excellence upon the principle of excellence. Follow them upon the principle of excellence, of promoting excellence, for the sake of promoting excellence. You follow them. So from your excellence, you approach them to see what excellence they provide for us, what excellence is provided in them. They had defects. They were not gods or prophets or saints. So we have to study them, loving them, appreciating them, but at the same time, not blindly. Be alert for defects or flaws in their own logic. For smallness in their own perception or their own vision. This is the way that society progresses. It doesn't progress by people just blindly looking at a hero and just taking everything that he's saying and reciting it like he's reciting the Quran. And they're coming out of that too. There's a new rising of scholars for the ulama, for the international community. They are coming out of that. Question, Brother Imam. Kulaka insanu. This is a question. Someone is asking the Imam a question. Brother Imam, Kulaka insanu. How does the subject of this being insanu relate with Nafsa Amara, the other transliteration, as being the human soul? Here we have one, insanu, and the other, Nafsa. Should we see both of those as very similar, or should we see something different? Imam Wasidi Muhammad answers, yes. In a nafsa, the nafs, and nafsu, that is fated to be corrupt, to become corrupt. In a nafsa la amara bisu, it is fated to become corrupt. But ilaman el himala, except for those that receive Allah's mercy. Now, that fated is a strong term. What it means is that man is created with a nature that may dispose him to error. What is that nature that disposes him to error and may lead him to be corrupt in time? It is his tendency to be influenced by or to give in to the insistent urge. That's what intensified la. La is an intensifier. La amara. It's not just amara. It is la amara. Amara is really the word. And then it's given a prefix that gives another word that makes it bigger in meaning. La amara. Praise be to Allah. That Joseph is exemplifying or typifying the tendency in his man nature or in his man life to give him to urgency, to give in to that insistent that is in him. Now look at everyday life. Your child that can't have patience and just insists that you do whatever it wants right now, that's the child that you have to worry about most. He has an insistence in him, in his nature. He has to have it now. He has to have it now. I want it now. Why can't I have it now? Now, on the higher human plane, We still have that problem in people. What is this addressing specifically? It's addressing what we're talking about generally. What it is addressing specifically is given in the Quran in another place. It says, Allah offered the management to the angels and the mountains, and they both refused. But man, having a tendency to act quickly, to jump the gun, or whatever the expression is, he said, I will accept it. And God replies, he has a tendency to be hasty and ignorant. Adula Jawala, he has a tendency to be ignorant and hasty, right? Was that not the Nafsa La Amara focus there? Isn't that a focus on the Nafsa La Amara of man? The mountains. The mountains mean wise, informed, above the small visions. It is way up and has broad vision, way up like the eagle. He goes way up and he has a broad vision. So the mountain means the creatures of broad vision. They refused to accept it. They knew the consequences down the road. They could see the whole map. And the angels, they don't have any nature or ability to do anything but just obey God. They couldn't reply with anything but, you know, and we know not. So they refused to accept it without God's order. They obey God's order, not on invitation to act on their own. Man, he acts on his own when the invitation is given. So you see the Nafsa La Amara depicted there and depicted in Joseph, not the Nafsa La Amara, but the Amara of Joseph did not become La Amara, but the Amara in the women became La Amara. So I think that's enough. It should be clear. Question. Going back to a point that you made yesterday, you were talking about Mary and how she was assisted by God. She was in a bad situation, and God told her to take a little stick and make grooves in the earth so that the water could go through the grooves to the tree and drop sweet dates. Imam Muhammad answering this brother's question. Yes, I believe the term in the translation is rivet. I believe that's the term they use, R-I-V-E-T, rivet, a small stick. Now, what is the question? My question is, can you explain the meaning of the little stick and the grooves that it made? What is the meaning? Imam Muhammad answering, the sweetness in the culture. A little stick means a small command of knowledge. She had a small command of knowledge, the knowledge for that situation. But with the small command of the knowledge for that situation, God guided her to take that knowledge and make access, open the mind to access so that the mind could receive the life of spiritual guidance. That's the water, the flow of the water. And then it went into the tree. The tree was a date tree, and it caused the date tree to drop down ripe dates for her to feed her child. The date tree there is symbolic of the sweetness in the culture, a sweetness that survives a long time. That date tree lives a long time. So it is that sweetness in the culture that has been with the culture as a tradition for a long time. Very nourishing, very filling or fulfilling. It fulfills the appetite, the needs, the nutritional needs. I think that's enough for that. question. The point you made with the groove and the little stick, could this be related to Hagar and Ishmael as she went back and forth between the mountains, Safa and Mara? Imam Muhammad answers this question. The question once more, let me repeat it. The point you just made with the groove and the little stick, could this be related to Hagar and Ishmael as she went back and forth between the two mountains? That is the mountains of Safa and Mara in the environs of Mecca. Okay, Safa and Mara. Imam wants to be Muhammad, he answers. Yes, she is running back and forth between two hills, running over land and going to one elevation of the land on the one extreme and returning to another elevation of land on the opposite extreme. This is wudu. You wipe the hair back to the back, and then you come to the front. So no one heel represents the front of the head, and the other heel represents the back of the head. The Safa is the front of the head. It's called suffering when you can't get results. And the back of the head is Marwa. It sends you back to the front when it doesn't have enough to supply you with. So she was running between these two hills, running over land. It was land all the way. She's running over land. So the running back and forth eventually brought the spark, like the little scouts do when they're rubbing the sticks. So going back and forth eventually created a spark. The friction created a spark, and the spark was the zamzam. The light was the zamzam. That's why they call ayn, from ayn. So the light was the zamzam. It sprang up at the heel of Ishmael, peace be upon the prophet. But there's another saying to help us understand what happened. It says that she was desperately in need of water for her child. This is in tradition. And a little bird came and flew down at the heel of Ishmael and pecked the earth. When it pecked the earth, the fountain came. This is in tradition. Now, all we know is what Allah says in the Quran, and that she was running back and forth between the two hills. And we know that tradition tells us that Allah answered her pleading, a desperate situation, by causing the zamzam to spring up. Yes, we can relate that. In fact, the same message is given over and over in Scripture, but in different ways to give us more understanding of it in its more evolved or more progress form. You see, the same situation that man was in when his world was very small in terms of development or knowledge, he finds himself in that same situation when his world is more developed and bigger. So we need another description, another language to describe this situation in latter times as opposed to the earlier or former times. But it's still addressing primarily the same situation. That's why it says that the little lamb, he came up and took a little book. He was able to digest the big book and condense it into a small book. So he took the big book. The book that he took was a small book. He read it, and the creatures marveled at the little lamb taking the book and breaking the seals. That's how the seals are broken, when you can see that this knowledge is being repeated. It's repetitious, and it's really evolving itself with the evolving world. Let me stop right here. Yes, if there's anyone that have any questions or any comments that they would like to share, we ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. And let me, I'm sorry, I'm a derelict in introducing myself and my co-host. I am Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360, and I'm grateful to be joined by my co-host, Imam Michael Hamid. Let me give you the greetings, Michael. As-salamu alaykum. Take your phone off of mute, Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Pardon me. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Imam. I'm glad to be with you.
Alhamdulillah. And I was remiss from introducing yourself and me to the listening audience.
Yeah.
I guess I just take it for granted they know who we are, but that's not proper. We have to introduce ourselves because there may be a people here that are not familiar with us. Praise be to Allah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes, do you have any statements from what I've shared thus far?
No, sir. I'm processing it, and I'm enjoying listening to the insights that the Imam Muhammad is sharing with us. I do have one thing to share in a general sense, that this legacy of wisdom of scripture, of the life of Prophet Muhammad, and of the Mother Nature, and other aspects of our humanity, is so wonderful. It's a wonderful legacy, and it is the way that we have Imam Muhammad with us, you know, well past the expiration of his physical self, you know, and it's a wonderful way that he's left us to look into what Allah has blessed him with for us and for the world. Now I'll stop there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. With the Imam close to his last statement, he said, wait a minute, yeah, concerning the journey from Safa to Marwa, the two hills in Mecca, and the tradition that a bird came and scratched grooves into the land, and that Mary, it is reported that she had a stick, and she created grooves in the earth, and the grooves became filled with water. The water fed her and the tree, and from the tree came sweet fruit. Dates, and it is designed to last a long time. A date tree can live, I don't know how many hundreds of years. So I'm connecting that with the subject matter of scholarship. When the Imam saying it's not enough just to repeat what the scholars have said, that you have to even question them. Look for the excellence, for the sake of excellence, in what has been given by them. And then the second, consult the excellence within yourself. Within yourself. The excellence, what? To be able to extend or add to or add value to what the scholars has previously given. She was a little stick, a small stick. Mary, the mother of Christ Jesus, she was just one woman. But from her, we get shared attributes and principles. She is among the most favored women on the earth, her and Fatima. So from that small woman living in Nazareth, a culture has been created around her, and it has fed a tree with a sweet culture, and it has sustained us all of these years. I'm making connections according to my own perception and my own understanding, which may be flawed, but at least I'm willing to think. You know, praise be to Allah. So the journey from Safa to Marwa, back and forth looking for sustenance for her child, for Hagar, for her child. Now remember, Hagar was the servant girl. She was small in estimation of status to Sarah. Huh? And her running back and forth across the earth to Safa and Mara. And God answered her dua. God answered her prayer. He sent a raven. This is a raven bird. And I know there's a lot of symbolism to that. And the raven took a stick, and it also scratched the earth. And the Zamzam well sprung up from that at the heel, praise be to Allah, at the heel of Ishmael. But the effort started with Ishmael's mother seeking provisions for her child. I'll stop right there. Okay. Let me move on. Now, yeah, praise be to Allah. Yes. Yes, we can relate that. In fact, the same message is given over and over in Scripture, but in different ways to give us more understanding of it, and it's more evolved or more progressed on. You see, the same situation that man was in when his world was very small in terms of development or knowledge, he finds himself in that same situation when his world is more developed and bigger. So we need another description, another language to describe his situation in latter time, as opposed to the earlier or former time, but is still addressing primarily the same situation. That's why it says that the little lamb, he came up and took a little book. He was able to digest the big book and condense it into a small book. So he took the big book. The book that he took was small book. He read it, and the creatures marveled at the little lamb taking the book and breaking the seal. That's how the seals are broken. When you can see that this knowledge is being repeated, it's repetitious, and it's really evolving itself in the evolving world.
Amen. This is so enlightening and edifying. Imam Muhammad has given us principles for understanding that the language may change, but the language is changing to give us a bigger focus or better and better insight, understanding, better possibilities for the utility of it in terms of these descriptions, addressing the same situation. There was an occasion where Imam Muhammad mentioned blood and the following of blood in the Holy Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And so when you look at it, you see how that particular focus is raised up and how it comes into other circumstances. And when we look at those circumstances, with Allah's help, we get a greater understanding into blood as it develops in Scripture. And I'll stop there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Someone is asking Imam Muhammad another question. Brother Imam, you were talking earlier about the blind man. There's a story about the blind man that the first thing he saw after the mud was put on his eyes was men as trees, and then he saw men as they are. Could you give us a further clarification on that? Trees and disciplines of knowledge. Imam Muhammad answers, yes. That was the coming back of his sight. Well, actually, it was the giving of sight to him, not the coming back. It was the giving of sight to him. The first form that he took, this growth of sight in him, is given as trees. Now, trees really mean disciplines of knowledge. Let me say that again. Now, trees really mean disciplines of knowledge. Every tree represents a discipline of knowledge. So, like tree would be the same knowledge. A different tree would be a discipline in another knowledge. And this is cultural knowledge. A tree is the biggest development we have in the plant life. There's no development bigger than a tree in plant life. So plant life is symbolic of cultural life. So the tree would be the biggest body of knowledge in the cultural life. We could say that the tree represents the dominating influence in the cultural life. If some influence dominates our culture and we can compare with its influences of similar magnitude, or similar power of influence on our cultural life, then they would be represented as trees. And some of these influences are bigger than others. Some trees are short, some trees tall, but all trees are bigger than other plant life. For example, the bush, vines. The vines may grow tall, but they don't have the body of the tree. The volume is not there. So if we look at the cultural life, what is it that has the ruling hand in the cultural life? It's the influences that give the biggest support to and also the biggest pleasure to man's life. That's the tree. The tree gives the biggest support to our life, more support than any of the other plants. We can build a bridge, a home from trees. From trees we get wood, fabric, paper. So there are many things from the trees that support our life, and fruits also. The fruit of a tree is usually sweet, you know, whereas the fruit of most plants is not that sweet. Corn, tomatoes, A few of them are, but the tree gives dates. The olive is not sweet, but dates, peaches, apples, oranges, and all of the sweet, nice things are. However, while giving us its sweetness, its nourishment, it also gives us its strength. The tree is very strong. So when we look in the culture to find what influences in the culture that can give to that picture or that symbol or find in that picture or that symbol, there is the tree. Alhamdulillah. Trees also represent people. Now, the tree doesn't always represent the culture or the life or development in the culture. It also represents people. For example, when we say a family tree, what the saying says that he first saw them as trees, then as persons. That is to say this, that man is formed of knowledge. Man in his reality is the product of knowledge or the influences of knowledge. That's how we are to see man. So a man is to be identified by his knowledge. And if man is really essential or by and large the product of knowledge, that tells us that knowledge forms man and reforms man. Yes, that's what it tells us. I think that's the perception there that is given, that knowledge forms man and reforms man. Not only that knowledge forms man and reforms man, knowledge forms the world and reforms the world. And his blindness was not ordinary blindness. His blindness was the inability in him to understand the reality of the world. He couldn't perceive the reality of the world. He was just seeing the outer appearances of things. But when God gave him sight by some happening, then he saw the reality of the world. And the reality of the world is that these outer appearances form because of the influence of knowledge. Praise be to Allah. I want to make a comment here. The first revelation to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, was Iqra, or read. Read with the name of your guardian Lord. Read what? Read what, Allah? Read the creation, Muhammad. Read the creation. I shall teach you through the creation. The creation holds knowledge. Don't just look at the surface. Look into the creation. And in that, Allah mentions that he gave man the use of the pen. The pen denotes education. What you find there, write it down. Teach others. So when we say a family tree, a family is a body of knowledge. A family is a unique body of knowledge. I want to know what profession my great-great-great-great-grandfather had. I want to know his wife and on down the lineage down to me. Each successive family was a body of knowledge and an influence and a cultural expression that made me who I am today. Praise be to Allah. For I thank God for Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Now we understand what they mean when they say, let's look along your family tree. Praise be to Allah. Okay, let me move. Okay, we have a caller on the line. I'm going to answer this call, this hand that is raised. Wait a minute. Let me first play a public service announcement. I am a derelict in that, and I don't want that to continue. I ask you if you would, please stay tuned after these important public service announcements. We'll be back, inshallah, God willing.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we are back and listening to the contemplation of Imam Waz Adeen Muhammad, hosted by myself, by yours truly, Kareem Hamid and Michael Hamid. We are sharing with you a Ramadan session from out of Athens, Georgia. The year was 1996. Praise be to Almighty God. Let me answer this hand that is raised, error code 408-821. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the contemplation of Imam Waz Adeen Muhammad.
Thank you, thank you. Praise be to God. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I was just thinking about when you were talking earlier, you were talking about that the pen that has the power to write things, you know, and I was reminded of that Levitical priesthood and how the scribes, there were some scribes that were heathens and they were pinning themselves into the priesthood, and that caused a lot of problems down the line. We could talk about that someday, but yeah, very interesting. When you brought that up, the thing I like to bring up a lot of times concerning truth is going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. I like to start there because in the beginning God created Old Covenant Israel. You understand, don't you?
No, sir. First off, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth.
Hold on a second. So when you say that, that's what everybody would say, but You know, if you go to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19, speaking to Israel in that verse, and that has to remind you of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, because, like I just said, in the beginning, God created the old covenant Israel. You didn't hear that part?
Well, let me say this. Israel did not exist. Abram's name was changed to Israel.
I understand.
This was after the creation.
I'm talking about a deeper study, you know, where it's higher ground. I know a lot of people don't study as they should. I understand this. And I don't know exactly where you are 100%, you know, with your understanding. That's all I can say. But I'm just sharing a little snippet. But I know you're going to give me some feedback, and that's okay. I'm willing to listen to what you got to say, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Is there anything else that you would like to share, my brother?
Well, I just want to say thank you. First of all, thank you for doing what you do. I appreciate you. I want to say that, okay? And, no, I don't really have anything else to say. I don't have anything else to share. I just wanted to gently throw that in there, you know? And
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that you referenced the use of the pen.
Yeah.
The use of the pen. We know that some scriptures have been polluted with man's biases.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
They write the book with their own hands and say this is from God. And it is not from God. That occurred.
Yeah.
That's not guesswork. Some of the prominent theologians on this earth, they will share that with us. They know that that's true. But at the same time, the Quran was revealed. The prophet Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary, he expressed that there was one coming. He would be known as the Comforter, and that he shall lead you into all truth. Now,
yeah.
what was revealed to the Comforter was the unadulterated, pure word of Almighty God, identifying what was false in previous scriptures and identifying what is legitimate and from God. That's one of the purposes of the Quran. Yes, sir.
It's a beautiful picture. You know what I'm saying? It's just people can't really. I mean, people are going to say things that they don't understand about what you're saying, because some people don't see what you're talking about. You know what I mean? They just ain't going to be reflecting what you be projecting to them. You understand? And the ones that are reflecting back to you that, you know, what you're saying is right. You know what I mean? That's all good. But these other people over here, these people over here are the ones that are the hungry people, because over here they all like, yeah. But these people going, you know, no.
Well,
I don't see any reason to treat them badly unless it's necessary for them to learn something, because, you know, these people can get out of line in their physical body, spiritually speaking.
You know, I'm charged with just delivering the word. I'm not responsible for the result of the word given. The truth that you know. You're only responsible for sharing what God has blessed you with. The result is not up to you or me. So what someone else, how someone responds to.
That's true.
Is none of my business. is none of my business. So I don't mess with other people's business that's not mine. So I'm not concerned about whether someone likes what they're hearing or they say no, 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 or they say yes.
I use that as a word picture.
Move on, if you could you complete your thought, and I want to move on with giving the commentary of Imam Wahid Muhammad. And what is your name again? I think I've heard you on there before.
Yeah, I've been on before. This is Craig. Mm-hmm. Craig.
Yeah,
I've been on before. Okay. I've been on a few times, you know, and it's always been a pleasure to be able to be on air. You know what I mean? Where you got people that are listening, and they can make up their own mind, like you said. You know what I'm saying?
That's
they can make up their own mind. Yeah.
They can say what they want to say.
You know, I mean, I can't, like you said, I can't control what can come out their mouth, but I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with a dialogue. A good, healthy debate is very, very valuable, very noteworthy. Differences of opinion is very valuable. You know, Almighty God made us unique, and he says everyone has what he calls a rye. Rye in the Quranic language means an opinion. So, you know, I'm willing to sit down and let's come to common terms with anyone out of an expression of love and caring, not meanness, not mean-spirited, not to create enemies.
Well, that makes sense.
No.
That makes sense.
We can have an intelligent conversation. Well, I have enjoyed this exchange, Craig, but I must move on. I want to share with everybody the commentary of Imam Wahid Muhammad. Continue to listen, and whenever you feel comfortable, press 1 on your phone. You can ask any question you want or make any statement with good taste. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Craig. Yes, sir. Thank you, and continue to listen to American Muslim 360. And peace be on
you. Okay, thank you. Peace to you, too.
Praise be to God. Alhamdulillah. Okay. We move on. See where I stop at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trees as bodies of knowledge and spirit of man as ink. Trees as bodies of knowledge and the spirit of man as ink. The trees there are symbolic of great influences of knowledge in the cultural life of the society. For the needs of the world or the society, knowledge first establishes itself as what we call culture. And then later from the culture, it branches off into or is fed into other forms of our society. For example, education, government, whatever. From the culture, we get all of this. So that's what it's saying. And I think we find when we read in the Quran about the trees being made pens and the seeds made into ink, it's saying very much the same thing, that we're to see trees as bodies of knowledge and the spirit of man as the ink. Another question of Imam Muhammad. Brother Imam, in Detroit, you talked about culture, and you mentioned how they bypass the conscious and go to the motor skills. If I'm not mistaken, you mentioned the spirit, which represents freedom, and the intellect representing liberation. In reference to culture, is that saying that the spirit is free in the giving of direction until man accepts the intellect that God has given to him? Until man accepts that when he has no direction in order to direct his spirit, in a positive way? Imam Muhammad answering his question, yes, sir. I think I'm following what you're saying. Culture is the expression of freedom. The first expression of freedom is culture. And the spirit is symbolized in religion and in other bodies of knowledge too, as a bird. Let me read that again. The first expression of freedom is culture. And the spirit is symbolized in religion and in other forms of knowledge too, as a bird. As we know, the tree is associated with birds more than any other life, right? Birds like to make their homes in trees. So the bird is also symbolized as man's spirit too. And the freedom is told in Genesis, in the Bible, on the day that he made the creatures and the bird to fly in the open air, the open firmament. That's freedom. So the free spirit is its home in the culture. That's the bird. Yep, the free spirit makes its home in the culture. Now there we find the spirit of the bird, and then in the water, being given grooves in the earth to go to the tree in the Quran on dates, giving us food to the baby. Peace be upon him. We have water. It's spirit too. And then we have also the air as spirit, right? We have the water as spirit. We have the air as spirit. We have the bird as spirit. Now how are we to understand these different pictures of spirit? Air is the spirit in us that's the freest. Air is the freest. So the spirit in us that wants more expression, the most expression, the most room for expression is air. The spirit in us that wants to get clarity more than to have room is water. Let me read that again. Praise be to Allah. Ooh, this is wonderful. The spirit in us that wants to give clarity more than to have room is water. The spirit in us. Sir? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Yes. The spirit, I'm rereading that sentence. Thank you, Michael. The spirit in us that wants to take the knowledge form, the knowledge body, wants to be a knowledge body. I'm starting at the wrong place. Okay. We have the bird as spirit. Now, how are we to understand these different pictures of spirit? Air is the spirit in us. That's the freest. Air is the freest. So the spirit in us that wants more expression, wants more expression, the most room for expression is air. The spirit in us that wants to give charity more than to have room is water. The spirit in us that wants to take the knowledge form, the knowledge body, wants to be a knowledge body, not just a spirit, wants to be a knowledge body that has freedom to move about in even the broadest room of freedom air is the bird. The water, it wants to feed life, and its nature is to come down and to rest at the lowest crevices of our life or our world. It's not satisfied until it goes down to the lowest spaces in our life or in our world. And it feeds those lowest spaces first. And if it's not enough, it will rise up to the highest crevice, to the edge of the highest crevice, and even may overflow. Too much overflowing is bad. You see, that's the water. And the water and the air both, in order to be in the good form, they have to be transparent. Appetite. Appetite in spirit to fill all space that God created it for. Ooh-wee. Praise be to Allah. Appetite in spirit. You know, let me make this brief statement. Before Al-Islam, I had a small appetite. I was just controlled by the environment that I lived in, the neighborhood, the block, the city. But since coming into the universal reality of Al-Islam, praise be to Almighty God, my outlook, my perception is enough to drink in. My appetite has grew whereby it can consume the whole universe. The whole universe. The whole of creation. I'm going to begin once more and on this paragraph. Appetite in spirit to fill all space that God created it for. They are transparent because it is the nature of this form in the spirit to want to see what's in me, what's in my body, what's affecting me, what's present here. God, I want self-discovery. I have to keep myself clear so I can see other objects that are foreign to me or that were added to me. I want to know every addictive. You see, that's the water. That's the air, water. But the water is symbolic of the humility in the spirit. And air is symbolic of the appetite in the spirit to fill all the space that God has created for it. So it wants to go up, up and out and everywhere. But also it wants to give charity. It serves life too when it goes up high. It goes up so high until really there's no life up there to give charity to. So a person that got his nose too much up in the air, that's what you say about him. You see the expression, arrogant. Arrogant. It's a play on air. Arrogant. Allah says there is a kind of person who wants to stretch himself up. And that's what proud men do. You shouldn't be drooped too much either. It says he touches up to the sky and he becomes constricted. Allah says, never should you stomp through the earth or raise yourself up to the sky. Another question. Michael, you have any statements you'd like to share or any questions? Allah tells us in the Quran. Yes, sir. Allah tells us in the Quran, speaking to a man, don't that your creation is a bigger creation than the creation itself.
This is don't wonderful. Think,
yes, this, praise be to Allah. Okay, let me move forward. There's so much to say on that, but we don't have the time. Okay. Here's another question. In regards to the social nature of man, in studying several surahs dealing with animals and insects, how they all have their social natures as well, can you explain to us how they are related to us socially? Imam Muhammad answers, yes. In fact, every creature that moves upon the earth, Allah says, has a social order like us, or a social life like us. The term is Ummah. It's without the feminine T. They have community, a need for community like we do. So these creatures, like, say, the bee, have a very developed social order, a very highly developed social order. The ant also, the bee and the ant, and likewise the elephant. Elephant in every human being. The elephant, if you look at him, he suggests in this language that we're talking about, he suggests to our minds wealth, great material accomplishment. His body is a material mass. So it expresses great material accomplishment. But when we look at him, he has what you call the trunk. That's his snout, huh? He has a trunk. And his trunk really distinguishes him more than anything else from other animals. This trunk is his defense, his main defense. You know, he fights with his feet too. If you get up under him, then his trunk is his main, but his trunk is his main defense. The trunk is his main work tool. And his trunk is really his nose, isn't it? Now, this trunk also baptizes him. It takes up water in his trunk, and he bathes himself. He bathes himself occasionally when he needs it. So his trunk is really the organ of his spirit, isn't it? He takes weeds out with it. But the same organ that serves his spiritual needs also serves his moral needs and his material needs. The great elephant. So great, the Lord had to put precious material beside his trunk, his nose, ivory. Ivory tusk, it says, and this is valuable. What's between these two horns here is valuable, or two swords, daggers, or spears, whatever you want to call those tusks. What's between them is valuable. Now, he'll fight with that, but that's when something has gotten too close to it, kind of broken his defenses. Then he will pierce them. And really his trunk is his power, defending his precious ivory, because it isn't that strong. It looks strong. It looks threatening. But too much pressure will break it off. It's weak in the base. And elephants got a great, great message. And his voice is a loud, echoing, and far-reaching shrill like a trumpet. His voice is carried far. His pitch and his height enables his voice to be carried far. And his voice is either to call his kind or to strike terror into those that may threaten his kind. Oh, he's a mighty creature. His mouth is relatively small. A big mouth means he talks too much. The protection for his ears, big ear flaps, big protections for his ears. We can look at each thing of him and talk for a long time. He cools himself with his trunk. He also cools himself with his ears. His ears are fans for his head. He flaps them. And it gives a circulation of air that helps keep him, his head, cool. So there is an elephant in every human being, isn't it? Every creature of the earth is in the man. Okay, we move forward. Science is a hypocrite. And before we move further, let me share another public service announcement with you. For I really enjoy sharing, and sometimes I be a derelict in sharing with you important public service announcements. And I don't want to be that you need to receive the public service announcement as designated for you. Praise be to Allah. So, okay, let me share this public service announcement from our beloved Depreza Hadi. Our beloved sister.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Depreza Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. You can connect with us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891. Or you can call in live to the studio by dialing 425-292-4253. And we invite you, you can leave your listener comments at info@cwsc.us, or you can tweet us at CWSURA, uppercase CWS, lowercase HURA. H-U-R-A-A, pardon me, tweet us at CW Shura, and we invite you, if you were to visit the website of our parent company, CWSC. We ask you to like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference, and American Muslim 360. We are joined so that we can remake the world. Praise be to Almighty God Allah, and we look forward to your listener comment, if you would, to dial into 910-317-0297 and leave a listener comment with us, pro or con. Together, we can remake the world. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful for this wonderful day. Praise be to Allah. As we share with you the commentary of Imam Walter D. Muhammad from the Ramadan Session, Volume 1, out of Athens, Georgia, the year was 1996. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Is there anyone that have a statement? I see 401. I'm not sure if this is Craig or not. I don't think he took himself out of the queue.
No, he didn't.
Let me. Okay. Craig? Okay. I'm putting you on mute. Press 1. That will take you out of the queue. And you can listen. Praise be to God. So, alhamdulillah, we move forward. And where do I? Yes. Praise be to Allah.
Science is a hypocrite.
Bottom of the page. Right. Let me share with the last sentence from the upper, from the former paragraph. Every creature on the earth is in the man. That is so key. Every creature on the earth is in the man. We can learn from every creature on the earth. Praise to Allah. Okay. Now, the next subject matter. Science is a hypocrite. Speaking of the elephant, his tail is very small in comparison with his mask. Very small tail. It looked like it should be on a smaller animal, an animal of less mass. So he's not sensitive so much to what's behind him. He doesn't have a need to be. He's so intimidating, he isn't worried about what's coming behind him. And it appears as though he's naked. He's not even afraid of the environment anymore. He doesn't need a coat to protect him from the environment. His skin has become so tough that he doesn't even need hair. The surface layer of his knowledge is so tough, so hard to penetrate, that he doesn't even need a heavy coating of hair. But they say once in the early days of the evolution of such massive creatures, the elephant, he had hair, right? He had a heavy coat of hair. I don't know whether they just made that up or really found some proof. Science lies too. It lies in the name of preserving the education, the evolution, the experience of education and evolution. Yes, so it lies too. Don't think science doesn't lie. Science is a hypocrite. In fact, it may be a bigger hypocrite than religion. In fact, it is. Because it denies the author of it.
Yes.
So you know what it is saying. I believe is this. And when you look at the elephant, what does the elephant feed upon? The elephant doesn't eat meat. So he feeds upon the culture, doesn't he? He feeds upon culture, plant life. He feeds upon culture and spirit. That's his diet, water and plant life. And that has made him massive of land animals. I don't think I have to say any more about that. Is that enough, Brother Imam? Alhamdulillah. Now there is another subject matter the imam approaches. The heading of it is, meet me at the bath pool of abundance. Kowtar. That's me saying Kowtar. Meet me at the bath pool of abundance. Okay, it's time for us to conclude now. So we pray Allah continues to aid us. Forgive us our errors. Aid us until we come to the bath hole of our prophets, the place of abundance, the abundance that Allah promises his prophets. His prophet said, peace be upon him, to his disciples. Meet me at the bath pool of abundance. Now, he wouldn't be there with us in flesh, but that's where God was directing him, and he's not to realize it in his individual personal lifetime, but he's to realize it in his lifetime in the community, and that one day he will come to that fountain of abundance through our lives. And when we get there, we'll know how we got there, and we will greet our prophet there. Assalamu alaikum wa assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. We're indebted to the guidance of God for your tradition, your uswa, for this meeting at the fountain of abundance, the full fruition of the human potential. That's where we're headed, inshallah. So we ask Allah to reward us. Do we have children to keep in this direction so that one day we will meet the prophet at the pool of abundance, the fount of abundance? Ameen. Praise be to Allah. That concludes the Ramadan session. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because I'm coming up on another one.
That's
from out of Athens, Georgia. Maybe it's part two. Huh, Michael?
Yes. Session two.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. I know the imam would take breaks sometimes. Sometimes he would come back the next day for part two. Praise be to Allah. He was giving us so much. So we begin the presentation, the content of the Ramadan session 1995, delivered by Imam Waruddin Muhammad, February 26, 1995, session two, from out of Athens, Georgia. The topics that he will discuss in this section of the Ramadan session is topic one, everything has its knowledge context. Topic two, Lord, Lord of all systems of knowledge. Topic three, the heart of the earth. Topic four, another sunrise. Topic five, God pictured as a potter. Topic six, Jesus, the first and second Adam. Topic seven, the meaning of Nos. Nos, G-N-O-S-T, the meaning of Nos. Topic eight, Mary, a learning environment. Topic nine, trees in the word of God. Topic 10, Muhammad on the mountain and in the cave. Topic 11, Muhammad is a social community. Topic 13, Adam, a giant. Topic 13, the Quran, our life thing. Topic 14, the Khalifa, sitting on the throne. Those are the topics that Imam Muhammad will share with us in part two of this Ramadan session from out of Athens, Georgia, February 26, 1995. And it begins. Pray that Allah guide us with his guidance, reward us with his mercy, and unite us more and more as Muslims. Ameen. I would like to come back to something that we were talking on earlier, after Fajr prayer, the same in the Bible, that Jesus, peace be upon him, wouldn't be where it was expected that he would be. And the language, I think, that I read call it pretty well. But if I don't, you can assist me with the language. However, before going there, I want to discuss a little bit the expression in the Quran in Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In a new recent commentary on the Quran, translation and commentary on Quran, done in sacred Mecca, venerable Mecca, the expression in the Quran, Allah's expression, Rabbil Alameen, is given in translation and commentary or interpretation as Lord of the worlds of jinn and men. And it is given as an explanation that came from our prophet himself, upon him be peace. I don't reject that, but I'm sure you have been informed or you are aware that Imam Newman of Jersey City, New Jersey, he did a critique on that translation. And my brother Akbar, who got his doctorate in Islam, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but in this case it does. He got his doctorate in Islamic history and African history. He saw it in the paper, and he did a critique on Imam Numan's critique. We had some words to say about the translation of the Quran. And when we were discussing the translation of the Quran, I didn't have that translation in mind. I had another. There's another translation that was given to me recently. Well, less recently than my knowledge of this one that was done in Mecca. My brother, who wanted my endorsement so it could be introduced into the community, his labor was to make the language of colors in the Quran black and white, the treatment of black and white in the Quran more acceptable to blacks or to African Americans. I think he went too far astray. His intentions were good. I do believe that. But his knowledge wasn't good enough. He went far astray, and he really hurt those quotes. That is, he's given a meaning that took from those quotes, took a lot from those quotes. What he was giving us was man. I don't feel God when I read it. And some other parts, he didn't help very much either. He gave us his own rendering of Al-Fatiha, and he put his own thoughts right in the translation. He didn't give it like it is. He was putting his tafsir and his knowledge on what the Arabic says all together. He was running it all together, and it was just totally unacceptable. So when I was discussing it with you, I was confusing the two. Then it came to my mind that maybe this is not the book that I was thinking about. So I had the book. Somebody sent me the interpretation of Quran that was done in Mecca by the person recently. The author, I can't think of his name right now. So I had it. And I picked it up and I read it. And already we were wondering if he had given it as a translation or as commentary. And when I looked in small letters, it said an interpretation or commentary. That's what it meant. So actually, it's not a translation of Quran. It's a commentary on Quran. So as a commentary on Quran, we find no fault with it. The only fault with it is that the way it's presented, the average one is not going to see the word commentary. The words commentary or interpretation are small. They see the noble Quran. And then when you start reading it, you don't read the Quran without commentary first. You read his commentary. From the very start, he's giving commentary. So that, to me, causes a serious problem for the readers, especially readers in the West, because our people are those who are less educated in Islam or in the knowledge of Arabic and Quran. When they read it right away, they're going to think that everything that's given there is supposed to be in the text of the Quran, the original text. So it's a problem. I'm sure that this book that I have here is the one. Yes, this is it. But here, it's even better because this is Arabic. But the other one that I have is all in English. So you don't get this. It doesn't stand out as much as it stands out here. It says interpretation of the meaning of the Noble Quran. I've got a smaller one, but that must be like this. This is the way it looks. Mine reads like this, like English. They put out a lot of these. They also put them in a lot of different shapes. Mine starts like this in English, and it's black and has lettering just like this, but it's in English. And you have to really look to see what or where it says, interpretation of the meanings. You have to really look closely. It's in small, small letters, but this is it. Now, I'm going to read it to you. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. All praises and thanks be to Allah. Who have you heard those words from? Me. Thanks be to Allah. Yes. Now, there's something wrong with that. And they have heard me, too, a lot. That's a fact. Saudi Arabia. And here, they have heard me a lot. They're taking from me to see how should we present this to the American ear, the American people's ear. So they study me. And they're trying to improve the way they're addressing the American people, the American Muslims. Most beneficent, most merciful. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. End of quote. Then the second verse, quote, all the praises and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of the Alameen. End of quote. He puts in transliterations. Then in brackets, he says, mankind, jinn, and all that exists, which is right. But it shouldn't be there. That should be in the commentary down here, down there in the footnotes. It shouldn't interrupt the text to give tafsir right in the text of the Quran. Because how will we know? It may mean even more than that. Maybe later, scholars will see more than that in it, you know? In fact, I already have. I see. Lord of the systems of knowledge. Now, how is what I said better than what he said? It is. I guarantee it's better, and I can prove it to any of you that's intelligent and open-minded, that my translation is better. How is Lord of the Systems or systems of knowledge better than what he said, Lord of the jinns and men and everything that exists. The systems of knowledge are everything that exists except Allah. Wasi at kuli shayin ilmi. End of the Quranic quote. Everything has been encompassed in knowledge. My commentary here, ilm means knowledge. Wasi ali kuli shayin ilmi. Everything has been encompassed in knowledge. Kuli shayin. That means that there's no single thing in the universe that doesn't have a knowledge context. It has a knowledge text, and its knowledge text is its system of knowledge. Do you follow? Yes, its knowledge text is its system of knowledge. The knowledge text of the human being is the science of the human being's makeup. For his human body. For a bird, it's different. For a wheat grain, it's different. For everything, it's different, right? For every single thing, it's different. Everything that exists has its knowledge context. Everything has its knowledge text, and God blesses science to find that knowledge text. And we say, find what God says. On the material side, in the material side. But they don't find what God said. How God made all of that to read something to man that he translates to his own creation. In everything, in the heavens and the earth, there are signs as well as in yourself. So this mic, a microphone. To know what this mic is, you have to go to the scientist who invented it, right? And the inventor will tell you how this mic operates. He will give you the science, the knowledge body for this thing you call a mic. Everything that exists has its knowledge text. That's what Allah means when he said, Waswasiya kulishayin ilma. And in another place he says, ilmin wa rahma, knowledge and mercy. Why? Because when you get the knowledge, the utility, that's God's mercy to you. Waswasiya kulishayin ilmin wa rahma, God's knowledge and mercy. Now, Lord of the systems of knowledge, where do we go directly to see what it's addressing? The planet, the universe, the stars that make up this universe, each one is a body of knowledge in a universal system of knowledge. But each one has its own separate body of knowledge in the universal system of knowledge. If you study more, you get a different body of knowledge than you get out of the study of Mercury. You study Earth, and you get a different body of knowledge. So each body has its own individuality in terms of its composition, its makeup, and its situation in the universe. Therefore, it has its own text. Each one has its own text, and inside the sphere of each one of these, there are many things. And every sealed thing has its knowledge body in its text, systems of knowledge. God guided me to that. Alhamdulillah. Let me stop. I pause. Catch my breath and settle myself. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I'm going to move forward. Michael, you have any commentary that you would like to share? If anyone has any commentary that they would like to share, the question they would like to ask, I ask you to press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic, and we welcome your presence here on the Concentrations of Imam. Waris Kadeem Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi.
No, sir. I'm enjoying the reading.
Yes, sir. Okay. Alhamdulillah. And I'm enjoying reading it. Praise be to Allah. Lord of all systems of knowledge. Lord of the systems of knowledge. Now, where is the hint for man? Allah wants to talk to man. Wants man to see his mistakes. Big mistakes. Little mistakes. Compared to what it is now. When the Quran was revealed, perhaps it was a small mistake. Now, it's a very, very monumental mistake, error on the part of man, on the part of scientific thinkers, when they give us the sciences of plants, animals, man, the inanimate world, everything. They don't give us that in the name of Allah. They give us that in the name of man. So this is what Allah is addressing. The tendency was in man before to do that. Allah is addressing that man you think, the world of science, and each science is a system of knowledge. Am I correct? Were created by you. You think you are the Lord. Lord also means teacher, because God, in creating this universe, he also cares for our life and also instructed our life. So he's our teacher. And you think you're the Lord, the maker and the revealer and the educator of these systems of science. No, Allah, the creator, he is the Lord of your systems of knowledge, your systems of science. This is the best. You can't find anything better than that. Don't look for east, west, north, or south. It doesn't exist. There's no understanding of that better than that. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to help you. I don't want any credit. Lord of the systems of knowledge. So how does God hint that he's talking to man? Though he's talking about the whole universe, how does he hint that he's talking to man? Because the ending is for living creatures. Elanim. You don't put that in on it unless it's talking about living creatures. And men, human beings, he's the Lord of the Elamim. They hear it, and they're upset. They hear me say that. Antique Mahmoud put it in the paper and put a big drawing to it. He depicted it in drawings, drew up the universe, and instead of calling them planets, he called them Elamim. And he used my quote, Lord of the systems of knowledge. That went there. They took it and they looked at it. They commented on it and they talked about it. The imam is not qualified to do this. What he's saying now will appeal to our ulama, to the members of the ulama. He will penetrate our ranks. So let us give the tafsir on this. Correct this right away. Praise be to Allah. They adopted the imam's tafsir. They immediately started saying it. Immediately. Okay. So they go and use learned men from the past, and they quote them and everything, and use support from them. I don't differ with their translations. But some say it needs to be improved upon. They need more. Lord of the jinn. That doesn't say as much as I say. that God blessed me to say, Lord of the systems of knowledge, Lord of the jinn, and Lord of the men. We don't know the jinn. We don't know the jinn. We've been told about the jinn. We don't know the jinn. We don't live with him. They live with us, but we don't live with them. So they're having a time. I'm really keeping them busy, and it's good for them. It's going to make them better, make them see more. That's right, and that's the way God does things. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I've only got 4 minutes of broadcast time left. We shall end this broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. We are grateful for everyone's presence each Sunday evening here on American Muslim 360 for the Contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi. Michael, do you have any closing statements before we leave there, my beloved brother?
I just want to say, Imam, I'm so thankful and grateful for the opportunity to share with you the reading and the invitation to see a little more clearly what Imam Muhammad has brought to us. And my prayer is that we continue in this reading to get more understanding so that we can have a healthier and more productive future. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I concur. Also, here on American Muslim 360, we have established a study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad.
Yes.
Whereby we don't just play the address and it's just background elevator music, and we go on. But we pause the address. We discuss various points that have been made in that portion of the address. We chew on it. We ingest it so that we can incorporate it in our personal and community lives. We take our time. We don't rush through the study of Muhammad. So we invite you, inshallah, Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for the study sessions with the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad on the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. We look forward to your presence. Praise be to Almighty God. And I invite you, if you would, to tune back into American Muslim 360 at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for the broadcast of the Upload Life. The Upload Life is hosted by our beloved brother, William Kareem. He shares with us the advantages of being computer literate and making connections with this new technology that has been introduced to us. We can use it to our benefit. The Upload Life. We cannot avoid it. We have to get with it. We want to stay current. And really, we want to stay ahead, inshallah. So he shares the Upload Life with us here on American Muslim 360, 7 a.m. Monday morning, inshallah. Praise be to Allah. So we came to you with the greetings of peace. We leave you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God Allah, remain grateful, and remain thankful. Almighty God, ask of humanity a question out of the 55th surah of the Quran entitled Rahmah, or Mercy. Allah ask that the Ayyi Allah Ibabikuma to Kaduban. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? So we have to remain grateful, remain thankful, and we must keep up our prayers. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hakim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, saying a prayer. Heaven's fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls will keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be all right,
gotta be all right,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life, and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine, and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Columbus, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives, and all the things he's given them that make their life, for the warm rays of sunshine, and the stars that light the night, and friends that last. wondering and why. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For a warm rays of sunshine, all the lights of night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you.